animals, and if I had opened the car's door, I imagined I would have smelled whatever it was they were cooking or burning in those fires. The car lurched and began to fall. There had been sickening moments before, but this one seemed to last longer, and now an alarm was shrieking in the cockpit. Then something like normal motion resumed again, although it was noticeably bumpier and the vehicle's rate of descent was swifter than seemed prudent. What had happened? Had the cable snapped, or had the car simply run out of handholds for an instant, plummeting before it found another line? Finally, I looked at the console and I saw a pulsing schematic of the cable car, with a red box flashing around the area of damage. One of the arms was gone. Chapter 22. Someone was attacking me. Trusting the vehicle to find its own way down as quickly and as safely as possible, I retrieved Zebra's plasma rifle, steadying myself as the pitch rocked and swayed, my concentration not aided by the shrill insistence of the alarm. I moved back onto the rear bay, past the passenger seat, where I'd lain the previous evening. Bracing myself, I knelt and opened the side door, watching it gull open. Then I leaned across and opened its counterpart on the other side, and pushed myself out as far as I could, into the wind, the ground still several hundred meters below me. I risked a quick glance up at the arm assembly, observing the cauterized stump where one of the arms had been shot clean off with some kind of beam weapon. Then I looked up and back along my route of descent. Two other cable cars were following me, about 200 meters higher up and the same distance behind me. A black figure was leaning from the closest car, shouldering something which, even as I watched, flashed a light too intense for words. A line of pink ionized air slammed past me like a piston, ozone hitting my nose almost before the thunderclap of the collapsing vacuum tunnel sheared open by the beam weapon. I looked down. We had lost another 100 meters, but it was still too high for my tastes. I wondered how the vehicle would manage with only one arm. I flicked on Zebra's rifle, praying that the weapon was not equipped with a user recognition facility. If it was, she'd disabled it. Sensing that I was bringing the weapon to shoulder level, the sight adjusted itself to bring its retinal projection systems into line with my eyes. I felt the weapon shiver as gyroscopes and accumulators came online, making it seem as if some magic energy coursed through it. Reserve ammo cells weighing down my pockets like lead ballast, I waited for the retinal aiming system to adjust to my eyes so I could get off a shot. For a moment the system was confused, perhaps because it was configured for Zebra's own peculiarly dark and equine eyes, and was having trouble adjusting to my own. The retinal graphics kept springing up, almost focusing, and then crashing in a morass of indecipherable error symbols. Another line of pink air ripped past me, then another, gouging a silver scratch in the side of the cable car. The stench of hot metal and plastic filled the cabin for an instant. "Shit," I said. The retinal system was down, but it wasn't as if my target was halfway to the horizon, or that I was trying for pinpoint precision. I just wanted to shoot the bastards out of the sky, and if the act ended up being rather messy and involving more than the usual amount of collateral damage, so be it. I squeezed off a shot, feeling the beam recoil nudge my shoulder. My own beam trail knifed backward, just missing the closest car. That was good. I had intended to just miss on my first shot. I drew some return fire, throwing myself back into the cabin while the shot lanced past. Now I was forcing my opponent to spread his fire, forcing him to choose between disabling my vehicle